This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Live and Learn. I'm Lee Chui Lin. Project ICRA is an NGO working to provide free lessons to students who are falling behind in schools and can't afford to attend tuition classes. The initiative, Class Rakyat, is operating in 4 states with support from iSina Academy, a social enterprise focused on education. As Malaysia strives towards a people-centric economy with the release of a national social enterprise blueprint recently, we speak to Liza Ali of iSina Academy and Sharifa Sharina Said Azwar of Project ICRA about Class Rakyat, the program's sustainability, and how they intend to duplicate this model across the country. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, how did the idea to start Class Rakyat come about?
Okay, it was a request from an orphanage in Batu Cave because the principal finds that the students in the orphanage is in need of extra classes. So they requested us to conduct a tuition class at that time. So we started it in 2013 with only 3 founders and 2 volunteers. But at the time, we do not have any specific modules. We just try and error books in the market, and until we found Academy iSina.
So before we move on to iSina, tell us about the work that Project ICRA does and what the name means.
Okay, ICRA means read. Okay, so our focus is in education programs, and we've been doing NGO since 2012, but officially registered in 2013. So our focus is in education programs as well as other programs such as Shopping Raya, Perpustakaan Mini Computer Labs and so on. So our throughout the year program, ongoing programs is Class Rakyat.
And Liza, iSina is a social enterprise. What is your business model?
Okay, iSina is a place where we accept students to have lessons at our center, and it's comprised of 80% underprivileged children and 20% of paying students. So the 20% of paying students are actually, you know, helping us to sustain the center. At the same time, we also have sponsors from even Project ICRA. You know, they're sponsoring some of our children there. We have about 80 children. And from the sponsorship, we get enough funds to actually sustain our teachers, our modules, and you know, help do more research and sustain and maintain the place.
In your previous role, you were a technology consultant. What made you want to make this change into the education sector?
Okay, it started when my own son couldn't read. So I started to do my own research in education, specifically on reading, you know, techniques of teaching how a child should learn how to read. And as a technology consultant or a systems analyst, I'm used to doing problem solving. So that's how I approach things. And what happened was that we found out that along the way, it's not just a problem for the children in kindergartens or preschool, but it's also a problem in schools. And not just primary schools, it's also a problem in secondary schools. So the research continued, and we actually developed all these modules. And it's an ongoing process, you know, until now we're still doing it because our children are growing up. You know, we have like from not being able to read and now they're able to read. And what's next, you know? We thought that after they have acquired the necessary reading skills and writing skills, I mean, that's the end of our job. But we found out that no, it's actually the beginning because only then their formal education lives just starting. So we are just continuing. It's like taking, you know, having one foot in it and now you have nowhere else to go but forward.
And you explained your 80-20, you know, business model. The social enterprise sector is relatively new in this country. Where did you get, you know, the foresight to set up an organization using a social enterprise model?
Okay, it was an accident actually because during in the early 2000, we're not even aware of what social enterprise means. But of course, we couldn't sustain 100% on donations entirely, you know. And at that time, I was working, so my life was working to earn some money, and then, you know, probably spending a little percentage on it for the school. So it was an ongoing process, which I didn't realize it was a social enterprise model at that time. But as we go along, more volunteers come forward. You know, we meet more people who are very into this kind of thing, and we discuss, and, you know, ideas grow, and that's how we actually managed to come to this point currently.
And so how did the two of you meet, and how did the collaboration start up?
Okay, after we successfully started the first class, it took us a year to actually open up the second class in Puchong. So, because our biggest problem at that time was we do not have specific modules to be used during class. And every week I have to crack my brain to think what to teach next. So a friend of mine who sent his son to Academia Aisina to learn how to read told me about it, and set us up a meeting. So that's how we meet. We look at the modules and we're interested, and we decided to collaborate.
And Sharifa, you were also working in IT before launching Project ICRA, which is such a coincidence. What got you personally interested in wanting to teach and volunteer?
Okay, during working, I did volunteering in various places. I teach tuition classes in orphanage. I teach in Jowkit. At the time, I focus on teaching maths and computer subjects because IT is my field. From there, I see that the demands is greater. That's how me and the two founders, we meet up again after 5 years living in the university. We decided to form a team and register our initiative officially as an NGO.
You talked earlier about a bit of trial and error and coming up with a module and a syllabus. So how did you eventually come up with a module that would work? What was that process like?
Okay, this is where Academia Aisina came in, because they are the one who invented the modules. And we found that the module is so complete and comprehensive. Then after that, then only we are brave enough to open up a third, fourth, fifth locations. Without their modules, we'll never be able to expand so rapidly.
Lisa, perhaps you could share what the module is?
Okay. Because we work with children who can't read in the beginning, so we had to devise modules that would work from zero to hero. So basically, we would have to, for example, let's take mathematics. So we would have to make sure that the child can count, you know, the basic things, count, and then the child can do addition, and then he can do multiple additions and subtraction, you know, from then on. So basically, Aisina modules is not the normal, typical book that you can buy off the shelves in shops, but it is actually a book that follows the development of the child from zero to enhanced steps for him to go back to school and, you know, be able to learn in a normal classroom instead of being left behind. So that's the aim of Aisina modules. It is not for aiming A's, you know, or scoring A's in subjects, but it is actually a module to catch up with the students' peers in a normal classroom.
And what do you think it is about the module that makes it so effective?
It is actually, it went through a research period where we actually tried it on to the children, because it's not that we wanted to do these modules on our own, but because we couldn't find any modules that can help these kids. You know, we've been buying all the books to help them, but they couldn't do anything with it. And so we had to step back and, you know, devise something that would work. So that was how how we come to this point. It's not we're not saying that, you know, these modules are the best in the market, but for now, it is what helps the kids.
I'm speaking today with Liza Ali from iSina Academy and Sharifa Sharina Syed Azwad from Project Iqra. We are discussing Class Rakyat. Up next, the importance of early education as well as the volunteers who help. You are listening to The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me today, Liza Ali from iSina Academy and Sharifa Sharina Syed Azwad from Project Iqra. And we are discussing Class Rakyat, an initiative that aims to provide free lessons to students who are falling behind in schools and who can't afford tuition classes. So, Liza, you emphasized the importance of early education. Some of the students in Class Rakyat are, you know, in Form 2 in our schools, but they only have a standard 4 mastery of, say, reading or mathematics. So how do you help them catch up? I mean, that is a space of 4 years.
Yeah, true. It is a big challenge, actually. As I said earlier, we have to concentrate on giving them the right foundation, because even if we teach them at the level of Form 4 or Form 2, where the child is supposed to be, without the basic foundation knowledge and skills, the child would still fall back. You know, he probably wouldn't be able to follow in classroom in a normal school environment. How we help them is by giving them the right foundation. We still teach them what they don't know. You know, for example, if he's a Form 2 student and he doesn't even know how to do multiplication, then we have to go back to multiplication for him to be able to master that first before we can help him catch up in his Form 2 syllabus. That's how we help them.
And so Class Rakyat, you know, this started off as something in orphanages. Is it something that's continuing there today, or do you offer help to children of different backgrounds?
Okay, we started in orphanages, and we have this year we have started to explore in a community. So we have opened up in Lembah Pantai. Currently, that's the first community projects. And we find that the challenges are different compared to kids in orphanage. But the demands and the needs is much more greater in community. So because of that, this year and for the next year, we are going to focus on opening more classes in community areas.
And do the classes function like tuition classes as well, where these are children who are going to Class Rakyat after school, or, you know, are they going to Class Rakyat instead of school?
It's an additional program to their school, but we are doing it either at night or weekends, depending on the schedule. But the idea or the essence of the program is to help them on the basic levels. So the modules, you'd be surprised that in our classes we don't have teachers standing in front and teach on the whiteboards. No, we don't have that. We have volunteers who will move around and assist the students who have problems with the modules. And in our class, not everyone using the same modules. Some will be doing mathematics book number one. Those who are already good at number one will start number two, number three, and so on. So nobody have to wait for anyone to proceed. If they are already good, they can just proceed on themselves.
They learn at their own pace.
That's right, yes.
Okay, and how do people find you? I mean, are these parents who are finding you, or teachers? You know, how does this work?
In the orphanage house, yes, the principal will enforce all the students to attend the classes, but in community, it's a different case. When we started, the registration day, the students themselves came down and registered themselves. When we evaluate, we give them some tests and we evaluate them. We give them the registration form. Then only they will go back to the house and ask the parents to fill in the form because they want to attend the class. It's not the parents who will bring the child down and register for them, which is a very interesting and a new experience for us.
And what's the age group of kids that you're helping?
Okay, we are focusing from 9 years old to 14 years old. As we tried to get 15 and 16, but not that easy. At this moment, the in community, the eldest is 14, but in orphanage, the eldest is 17.
And you talked about volunteers, you know, being a part of the classroom. So having good teachers, you know, obviously it's a big role in child's education, and trying to find the right people for you, I'm sure, is, you know, another issue. Who are your teachers right now?
Okay, our programs runs totally on volunteers. We have coordinators who will coordinate the classes, but about 10 to 20 volunteers per locations. So these volunteers can be anyone, university students, people who are already working, people who are housewives, and so on. So as long as they are interested to try, we are able to train them. And we have training classes every 6 months to train them on how to teach or how to assist the students the right way. So that's how we nurture the volunteers.
And is Class Rakyat run entirely with the help of volunteers right now?
Yes, 100%.
And do you struggle with finding enough people to fill those roles?
Yes, certain locations. Urban areas, not so bad. But the places like in Perak or in Negeri Sembilan, it takes a bit of time because the habits of volunteering is not yet in those places compared to city centres. In city centres, volunteering is like part of weekend activities. So we can find volunteers quite easily.
So how do you choose which orphanages you want to work with, as well as which communities you want to reach out to?
Okay, for orphanages, usually we started with a program called Shopping Raya. So from there, we will start to know the house, the kids, and we will start with a 3 months program to evaluate whether the needs are there and the interest of the students as well as the volunteers. As for the community, we will follow where Academy Aisina goes to. First, they will start with the reading program. Once they completed the reading program, then we will come in and continue with Class Rakyat.
So, Liza, how does Aisina choose which communities to go to then?
Okay, we normally work with, because we are a social enterprise, so we normally work with an NGO, other NGOs, that volunteers to do fundraising, to do a program called Jom Baca. Aisina Jom Baca is a program whereby we go to certain communities, preferably high-density urban poor communities, where we help children, school-going children, to instill efficiency in reading and writing. Okay, and it depends on where the NGO chooses. For example, we have an NGO called ADRF Malaysia, and they are helping the Lembah Pantai urban poor children to with this. So we collaborate with them, and we have Jom Baca in several PPRs, Project Perumahan Rakyat, in Lembah Pantai, and coming soon will be our fourth PPR Pantai Raya. We're going to do one Jom Baca program there. So that is how we actually work on. Sometimes we have sponsors saying that, okay, we want to have one program in Sabah Bernam, you know. So Aisina teachers will go to Sabah Bernam and help with the arrangement of the NGO. That's how we choose. If it was up to me, I would choose a lot of places, you know. But of course, we need funding to go to places and help these children.
You need to pick and choose.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. So, tell me then, what does a typical day look like in Class Rakyat? You know, when you start it at night or on the weekend, what happens? You know, if I were to sit in a classroom right now, what would I see?
Okay, by 7:45, the coordinators will open up the hall in a community area or in orphanage. The students will start to come at 7:50 to 8 o'clock. And the first thing they'll do is they pick up their files. So because of their modules are all kept in a file. And they'll sit at wherever they like. And the coordinators will start to take their attendance. And the volunteers will start move around. We specify certain subjects in certain hours. For example, 8 to 9 is maths. So in 1 hour time, they'll do maths modules. And the next 1 hour, they'll do English modules.
And how much does it cost to run Class Rakyat?
Okay. At this moment, the cost is about 60 ringgit per child per month. That's the amount that we raise from crowdfunding. And it will be going on for 9 months in a year.
And are you looking to make Class Rakyat a financially self-sustainable initiative?
Yes, starting this year, we have collaborated with an artist that helps us to draw comics. So we have produced 2 series of comics called Comic Abu Nuwas, which is quite a hit in Facebook. And we've been producing about 10,000 units, and the profits from the sale goes to fund the programs.
Wonderful. So you might soon be reasonably self-sustaining.
Yes, we hopefully. I mean, we have to. We can't depend entirely on crowdfunding. We have to find ways to self-sustain.
As of now, more than 400 students have gone through Class Rakyat. Can you share with us some success stories?
Okay. Last year in the orphanage in Puchong, there are 40 students there. All students in that orphanage jump from the last class or behind class to the next class, all of them, which has never happened before. And 5 to 6 children from the house receive awards from school because they have improved so tremendously in the lessons. So that is why we are happy, and we know that this program works and we'll be able to help many students.
And it's still a new thing, but what have you learned since the launching of it? What have been some of the key challenges and the biggest lessons?
Okay, when we started, it was only sort of like a hobby, you know, things that we do to fill in our weekend pastime. But as we go in deeper, we find that the needs are greater than we have expected. I mean, there are more communities are actually asking us to open up in their places. And this is where, and then we decided that, we can no longer go, we cannot stop the program, but to move forward and expand. We have just expanded to Perak recently, and we are now working on Penang and Malacca. So we are trying to train communities to help their own communities. They don't have to wait for us to go there and open up a class. Instead, we train the local NGOs or even university groups in that particular areas to run this program in their areas.
So what are your hopes then for Class Rakyat in the next, you know, let's say 5 years or so?
We hope that we'll be able to help many students, especially in rural areas and Sabah Sarawak. I mean, our friends in Sabah Sarawak have been asking, when are we going there? The problem, is the challenge will be funding and manpower and so on. I think for the next 5 years, our aim is to train more volunteers, to train more NGOs or groups who are interested to duplicate this program in their places, and to be able to reach rural areas. That's our target for the next 5 years.
And right now, where can the public go to donate, contribute, or volunteer? How can they get in touch?
Okay, they can to donate, they can go to www.projectikrok.com. To volunteer also, they can register themselves there in our websites. They can also subscribe to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram to know our weekly classes. We do not strict volunteers to attend only one place. They can come anywhere they like, whenever they like. But we will announce a week in advance and ask who wants to come for this week's class. So do not be afraid. We are not going to make you volunteer a whole year. You have to come every week. No, that's not our way. You can come whenever you like, and slowly you will fall in love, and you yourself wants to come every week without fail.
So Project Ikra, you are on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and you have a website.
That's right, yes.
Right, so if they look you up there, they'll be able to sign up there.
They can also call me if they want, or WhatsApp me at my number, 017-274-8904.
All right, wonderful. Thank you both so much for your time.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Sharifa Sharina Said Azwat from Project Iqra and Liza Ali from iSina Academy. We've been discussing Project Iqra's Class Rakyat on Live and Learn on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.